You're listening to Golden Rule Radio, your weekly discussion of the precious metals markets and the markets closely associated with the metals. I'm Rob, alongside of Miles, and together we have over 60 years of experience advising and brokering on the precious metals. Each week, we try to provide a technical analysis of the metals and cover the underlying fundamentals and the news that helps move and predict where the markets are going. So today, Miles, I would love it if you could give us a recap of the week from where we were last week. If the market is completely recovering, but what's your read on it?
Yeah, Rob, I appreciate it. We did get a little bit of recovery across the board here in the precious metals for the most part. So we'll start off with gold. Gold is up about just under 4% since our recording last Wednesday, currently sitting at $5,086 and inching its way back up to the top end of a little trading range here we're going to talk about in a few minutes. So we will definitely look at some of the gold highs and lows over the last week and maybe even make some predictions, Rob, although it always scares me to do so. So we'll certainly take a look at that. But yeah, gold up about 4% and doing okay this week. Silver, anything gold does, silver does better, right? Highs are higher,
not
lows are lower.
Not to be outdone. Yep.
Yeah, so silver is actually up 9.5%. Now, in gold's defense, silver had a lot farther to rebound. So yeah. Silver sitting at about $84.30, which despite the $100 price tag a couple weeks ago, it's still insane to me to say silver is over $80 an ounce as we speak today, because a year ago, I think it was $30. Good to see silver bounce up, and we'll look at that chart a little bit as well. I'm taking a look at some of the other white metals like platinum. Platinum's up about 4.5%, sitting at $2,110 and showing a little bit of recovery. Also coming down pretty hard like silver did. And palladium, platinum sister metal, inching behind, but that gap starting to widen. Palladium only up about 2% at $1,713. So most of the metals right now are showing us a little bit of life after getting kicked in the shins a couple weeks ago, and good to see them holding strong where they're at. So looking real quickly at the equities market, and I do want to talk a little bit about the equities market here when we get to it later in the show, but the S&P is up about 0.5%. And if you're seeing this chart on your screen, you see a lot of chop up and down. Mm-hmm. It's not huge percentages. 2-3% moves up and down, but it's really fist fighting over which direction it's going to go. So definitely want to talk about the equities here in a bit. And finally, with everything else up, obviously the dollar index is down. It's down about 1%, just less than 1%, currently sitting at 96.9. As where the dollar index is right now. So pretty typical, given the nature of the rebound we had, or the decline we had after the crazy December and January we had in the metals market. Good to see things possibly have found bottom here, and we'll talk about that a little bit. So, Rob, which chart do you want to talk about first?
Well, silver kind of sucked all the air out of the room in the month of January, and between China and the COMEX, they did everything they could to shut it down, and they did a pretty good job. So I'd like to dive into silver a little bit.
Sure. I think that's definitely a great place to start because it paints a good picture. It's been the most volatile, and I like that idea. So silver, if we kind of take a step back, let's take a breath. I know it was hard to breathe in January for a lot of us, but let's take a quick breath here. And really what we're looking at with silver is we're looking at silver starting this climb back kind of about the beginning of November at around $47 and change. Prior to that, earlier in the fall, you know, you go from August at $36 up to over $50. We had a very, very slight retracement, a little bit of sideways trading, basically through most of the month of November, and then it started climbing from there. So we're really looking at silver running from $47.40, let's say, all the way up to where it peaked, just over $121. And then, as you mentioned, Thursday night, China steps in, shuts down silver trading to kill the speculators. All of a sudden, Friday morning, New York markets open, you've got margin calls, you've got the CME group raising margin requirements for about the 200th time in the last couple of months, which isn't unreasonable given the rises, but it really took the wind out of the sails. So we're looking at silver making a pretty aggressive 786 Fibonacci correction from the November low or the November start up until the January 29th high. 786 is pretty deep ultimately. You know, it did it in two phases. And we may be taking a third step down here in silver as well. It's starting to resemble a ball bouncing down the hill. We blew through the 20-day, the 50-day. We touched the 100-day or got very close to it. You know, silver is really in a very short, compact period of time. Because it obviously was manipulated into that position through some government intervention on Thursday and Friday, followed by the margin call requirements, followed by everything else that causes that sort of tumble. It's not surprising to see the movement, even though it happened in a very, very short period of time. So we are in a little bit of a silver bounce since last week, but we're just really going to have to see if that continues. You know, Rob, the real question for me is, where's the momentum?
Well, that's the question. And listen, the demand is still there. The supply here in the U.S. is completely opposite the supply in China. Mm-hmm. If you look at their inventories in China, they are at multi-decade lows. We are lower than we were back in 2015. It peaked in the mid-2020s at around 5,000 tons of silver stockpile. Now we are close to 100 tons down from 5,000 tons. Maybe we're at 200 tons. We're so far below where they were in terms of their inventory just 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. They're in backwardation right now in China, where immediate delivery price is higher than the futures price, which is lower. And on top of the immediate futures price for delivery, add another 9.5% or 10% on top of their stated price for immediate delivery. So I think the backwardization in China, it's not so here in the U.S. We are not in backwardization. We're still in the contango where the futures price is still higher than the current spot price. But I think we're going to be here in the U.S. in a fairly narrow trading range, Miles. I hope we don't see another ball bounce lower, but it's very possible.
Yeah, and for anybody wondering, as Rob was talking through those, backwardation is simply where the spot price is higher than the futures market price, and contango is the opposite, where the spot price is lower than the futures market price. So typically, it's a bullish signal simply because of the rising demand for actual deliverable product as opposed to just future contract holding. So people want the metal in hand, and they're seeing that over in China, as you just mentioned. It's whatever the wholesale price is for a 100-ounce bar in China, plus if you want delivery, you're looking at adding a VIG on top of that as well. So it's not uncommon. I mean, we've certainly seen it before, Rob. You know, I think, at least for me in my career, the most obvious time of something like that was during COVID, where everybody in America wanted to buy toilet paper and silver American Eagles. Yep. The U.S. Mint had shut down, like a lot of government agencies had during COVID, and there just wasn't any product to go around. So you're looking at the New York spot price, the melt price of gold, and the futures market price of gold, excuse me, of silver, all sitting in this, what, $20, $25-ish range. But if you wanted to get a Silver Eagle, it was $50 or $60. It was a pretty staggering premium for deliverable product. And I think it's a good reminder for a lot of people out there. The spot price, the futures market, an actual deliverable product, those are three independent markets. They relate to each other, and they typically tend to trade very near, if not identical, to each other. But when things get twitchy, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush.
But we're not in that kind of market right now here in the U.S. I mean, I get calls from our clients and they're like, do you have any silver? I'm like, yeah, we've got 20,000 silver eagles and 50 bags of junk silver and plus bars. And, you know, we've got a lot of inventory. But they're hearing talk on the internet like nobody has any silver. Well, that's true in China. It is not true in the U.S. But if events change, we could very easily see inventories get wiped out here in the U.S. like we did back in COVID and also back during the market sell-off in 2008-2009, where inventories disappeared. Both gold and silver, and everything was at a premium, like it is in China right now.
And like it was here post-COVID as well. It's a very thin line between functioning as intended and the whole kitchen's on fire. When you're talking about the physical availability of metals, I think that anybody who's been in the precious metals long enough, either as an investor or working in the industry, we all see how quickly inventory dries up. When just 2 or 3% of the public gets interested, 1 or 2% of the public gets interested, and it can disappear pretty quickly. So it is interesting to me. We're starting to see that in the two main countries that have really driven the gold market over the last 10 years, China, who you mentioned, and then, of course, India.
Yep, both of them. Those tracks are laid. That train is on the tracks. The demand for physical supply of both gold and silver, gold for their monetary objectives, which is to challenge the U.S. dollar in global trade among their trading partners, and silver for their production of solar panels and batteries, etc. That's also happening here in the U.S. So the demand for physical silver and gold, that's not changing. What happened here a week or so ago was China and the U.S. hit the brakes on the train and people got thrown off the train. But it's not market dynamics that did that. It's outright stepping in by the big kids saying, hold on a second, we need this stuff. We're paying too much for it. You need to get off the train.
Right. Like you said, and I love the analogy there. In fact, we were joking about it earlier. You know,
we were.
The train analogy is great because in my mind, what I'm looking at here is short term, we see the hype and what just happened, especially in the silver market over the last month or two. But like you said, the tracks are laid. The train is running. China is clearly the engine of that train and has been for 10 years as they've been looking at diversifying away from U.S. dollars and allowing the BRICS nations to build up something trustworthy that they can use to cover those cross-border financial settlements between the varying BRICS nations outside of U.S. dollars. The thing the U.S. dollar has offered, whether you like it or not, has been transparency.
Yeah.
You may like or may dislike how the U.S. does things with the currency. You all know I have my opinions on it, but transparency has traditionally been the main benefit it offers. And there's a lot of countries out there that are just far less transparent about their financial positions. So what is the great equalizer between countries that like to keep secrets from each other? Well, it's always been gold. So it's no wonder the BRICS nations have been building this alternative stockpile currency backing gold reserve, so that the BRICS nations can have some trust and transparency.
And they're digitizing it, Miles. Mm-hmm. So you can put your stockpile in a Chinese depository. You don't have to sell it. It's just collateral. And it turns into its own form of crypto where they can trade each other without having to sell their stockpiles. That's if you trust the Chinese.
So this train has been running for a while. And the thing is occasionally you'll have the hobos that are going to jump on the train. This is the
speculators. I've been a hobo for a long time. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm perfectly fine with that. I'm not the Hunt brothers. I don't have enough money to move the market. Nah. So us hobos like to jump on the train occasionally, and we ride it as hard as we can. But the reality is they slammed the brakes on a couple weeks ago, like you said, to throw some people off. This isn't cleaning out China's silver position. This is cleaning out speculators that are running the price up while China is still trying to add to their actual silver position. So the momentum ain't changing. I've said this 1,000 times since we started recording. News doesn't change markets. It simply speeds up or slows down the direction a market was going to go in the first place. And what just happened, we saw a slowdown of that market. So now the question comes around, Rob, how long does it stay slowed down for?
Well, I don't know. And I think your question is key. Where is the momentum coming from? I doubt seriously if anybody's going to signal big buys in this market. It looks like we're going to see a very narrow trading band in silver and gold. At least I hope for silver it continues its slow progression higher. If we stay on this current trend, if momentum stays where it is, then we should be back over 100 by springtime. But we don't know because it's silver. Gold, right, we know, is going to continue its trend. If you look at the trading channel that's been established over the last couple of weeks here, you know that gold is going to continue steady eddy, moving slowly higher, because that's gold. But silver is so uncertain, Miles. I just don't know. Where do you see the top end of its near-term trading range?
We look at the recent decline, which happened in two stages. We had the big decline back on Friday, January 26th. And then we had the big decline back on Friday, January 30th. And then we had a second little decline on Thursday and Friday the following week. So that'd be last Thursday and Friday. And the first one, you know, brought us down into the mid 70s with a little bit of a bounce. The second one brought us down into the low 60s. So now we're looking at probably a trading range, which is a pretty big trading range. At this point, it's too early to really narrow that down, because we're looking at one of two things to happen. Either we need to get above that high that was on Wednesday, February 4th at around 92.25, or we need to go below the low that happened on Friday the 6th, just 2 days later, at $64, basically, just under 64.
That is a big trading range.
It's a huge trading range right now. So if we're not going to establish either an upwards or downward trajectory with some momentum, we really need to settle in and see where within that trading range we can land. But to be perfectly honest, we could have a $30 trading range for 6 months, which I think is going to shake a lot of people up. But if it builds some consistency, what's going to end up happening is you're going to have people buying at 65 and selling at 90 and trading that back and forth in the futures market.
Okay.
And we could see some back and forth there until somebody with enough clout, someone big enough, decides we're going to put our foot down here and push the price back up. It could be JP Morgan. It could be China. It could be who knows. Could be just about anybody. But somebody's going to step into the market at 70, 65, something like that, and place a big enough position where it's going to spark some momentum. And then you have to wait for the hobos to start jumping on the train again. So if we're going to settle into a trading channel here right now, for at least silver, gold's going to be a little bit tighter, but for at least silver, You're looking at a pretty significant trading channel until We get a couple more data points. Once we get a couple more data points, it's going to be easier to narrow that down. But man, we're still in the ER. We haven't even moved to the ICU yet. We're still in the first couple weeks of post-market capitulation triage. And you have to get the market stable, and then you can figure out where you're going from there.
Well, and I look over at gold, and I am not worried at all about gold. In fact, I just added some more to my physical stash on top of my vaulted account for gold, because this is a great opportunity for people to buy gold. And it could be a good opportunity for silver. We just don't know yet.
Yeah. I mean, gold's only 9% off the recent high. That's nothing.
No,
that doesn't even count.
Nothing.
So it just doesn't even count. Gold is a little bit different than silver, similar kind of concept. But if you go back to those November lows where gold was at 3,900, so same sort of chart look that we had with silver. But you go back to the lows at around 3,900 to a top at like 5,600, just shy of. We didn't have as deep a correction for gold. It came down and single day touch at the 618 Fibonacci correction. We only just barely touched the 50-day average, whereas silver got all the way down to the 100-day. So as per usual, silver just does more than what gold does. The highs are higher, the lows are lower, the volatility is more. But gold has done something that silver hasn't, is silver had the bouncing down the stairs. We had two consecutive lower lows in silver we just looked at. Gold has not. Gold is actually looking to be building a channel upwards right now. Now, long term, I don't know if that necessarily equates to continued growth in the short term. You absolutely can have a top put in and then have some volatility going back up towards a double top, and then the trapdoor gets pulled out. So I don't want to speculate as to where we're looking at a takeoff in the gold price from here or not at this point. What I would like to see, I think you would also like to see, is the market take a breather. We want silver to take a breath, and we'd like to see some sideways trading. I'd also like gold to take a breath. I would like to see some sideways trading in gold.
Yeah,
build some of that momentum and strength back up before you try to charge forward again, because I don't like markets that are built on the back of speculators. I want to get on the train. I don't want to climb on another hobo. So I'd rather hold on to the train myself.
Right. Well, and as we look at the top-down demand and the objective of East versus West, I mean, really what we're looking at, if we take a step back, is a change in global monetary policy and global trade. We've had it here in the U.S. where our dollar has been the king of currencies that provides collateral and like you said, transparency for global trade. Now we're moving into a new world, and the physical ownership of the metal itself is the most important. And this is where we're going long term. I've been here. I started my 40th year this year. I want to be here for another 10 years and hit the 50-year mark with McIlvenny Precious Metals. I think we're at the beginning stages of a whole new world monetarily, and gold is going to play a major, major factor in how China and the U.S. resolve their trading disputes going forward.
Well, settling in gold through some type of digitally backed system, I think, is something a lot of people are expecting.
I do too.
And we're going to do the same song and dance we've always done. We had a gold settlement system. You know, it's easier than gold paper. So what if we just have a little piece of paper that represents gold? And then 50 years later, we go, what if we just get rid of the gold and we just have the paper?
Or what if we get rid of the paper and just go to a digital?
Right. And that wasn't working either. So what if we have a gold-backed system within a digital system so that we don't have to deal with the paper in the middle anymore? And then eventually, 50 years from when that gets created, they'll just get rid of gold again, because about three or four generations, we get this idea in our head that like we don't need a relative equal weight and measure to keep transactions fair between people. So trying this since all of recorded human history, we've been trying to get away from gold and it just never works. So it's no surprise that when things get tough, people go back to gold.
Well, you know, I'm looking at the clock, Miles. Do you have anything you need to wrap up with?
Yeah, I think there's a couple things I want to toss out real quick. You know, I made a lot of statements today claiming a lot of the silver movement is shaking out speculative. I think the Commitment to Traders report shows that as well. So throwing that out real quick, I always like to look at the relative long versus short in the different categories, how many long contracts versus how many short contracts. Gold in the two main investment categories, the managed money category and then the other reportables, are both sitting like 4-1 long on last week's report. So it's no surprise to me that gold keeps climbing, because even in the paper markets, managed money is still long. The other reportable category, family offices, private investors, so on and so forth, they're all still 4-1 long. So it's not surprising there. Silver, on the other hand, is kind of a split bag. The managed money has declined. And I remember it wasn't too long ago, Rob, we were at 10-1, 12-1 long contracts versus short. Well, now the managed money category is only 1.5-1. So they're almost 1-1 long versus short. So the speculative money has definitely been pushed out of metal, and the other reportables is still sitting about 4-1, but that was also 8 or 10-1 just a couple months ago. So I really do think China and the CME did a fantastic job of shaking people out of the tree. kicking people off the train, as we've been saying. So I think that that's a valid confirmation for me there. And then finally, I don't know if we have time to today. I put some notes together for the equities market. I think the equities market is something we may want to talk about here in the next couple of weeks, because we're starting to see some segregation, Rob. You know, you mentioned the NASDAQ putting in consecutive lower lows last week, and it's showing it's pretty weak. If you saw our S&P chart 20 minutes ago at the beginning of the show, the S&P is looking incredibly choppy. But here's what's crazy. The Dow and the Dow transports are skyrocketing. Certainly the transports are. So maybe next week, if we have a few minutes, I'd like to jump into that a little bit, because you know the argument has always been the transports lead out the market, and the transports are having the best year. I think they're up 30% in the last couple of months. Wow. So markets all over the place right now. So come back next week and maybe I can convince Rob to talk a little stock market with me. Well, as always, we appreciate you joining us again for Golden Rule Radio. If you liked what you heard, we encourage you to swing on over to our website. We are at McIlvaney.com. You can also find us on Twitter at ICA Gold and Facebook at McIlvaney Financial. And as always, if you want to talk about your personal portfolio with any of the advisors here at McIlvaney Precious Metals, you can reach us at 1-800-525-9556. Thanks for listening. Have a great week.